Welcome to Small Time Leaders, a 10-minute podcast about how giving credit to others can help you experience more success and meaning in your leadership and life. My name is Michael Allen Tate, but my friends call me Mike. I work with accomplished business people who want to design a personal strategy to make their next big move their best move. In each of my podcasts, you will hear a successful leader talk about a couple of people in their lives who did or said a small thing that was so on point and profound that it still impacts how they live and work today, which I've come to call small-time leader moments.
Well, Jacob, it's so good to have you back. Enjoyed learning about Robert, your coach, and the impact he made in your life in our last podcast. So before we start, tell me something you're thankful for as far as your career right now. Let's have some gratitude about.
I'm extremely thankful for all the people that stepped up when I was transitioning from the military to the civilian life. There was a lot that I didn't know about the civilian world that my friends taught me, stepped me through for no benefit of their own, just took the time out of their day at no cost. Whenever I wanted, I could just call them and say, hey, can we work on a resume, or LinkedIn, the interview questions, whatever it was. And I'm just so incredibly grateful that I have friends that will kind of step up no matter what it is. It doesn't matter the cost or the benefit to themselves. They will just always be there. So I'm incredibly grateful for that.
Right. So when you came to the military, you were moving back into the civilian world and correct, had to learn the ropes, and your friends just surrounded you and kind of put them on your shoulders and took you through. Wow, that's a, man, you're a lucky guy.
Yes.
Things like that. All right. So I know you've had a lot of folks who influenced you as you went into your military, but is there somebody in particular that stands out in your mind who was that leader in your life that changed the way you operate?
Yes, it was Matthew Atkins. He's now a retired colonel from the Air Force. He was my first commander. Leaving the Air Force Academy at 21 years of age, I went to intelligence officer school. And at 23, I joined Matthew Atkins, then Lieutenant Colonel Atkins, his unit. I first saw him at his change of command. So he was coming in to be the commander, and the old commander was leaving. He immediately had a great impression on me. He was funny. He was witty, very personable. And I'll come back to that. But he was basically the first leader that I had in the Air Force. And he had an incredible impact on my life.
So you had a lot of other people that were around you who were supposed to be leaders, but he showed up in a different way, it sounds like.
Right. I think in the military, obviously, there's a lot at stake. And sometimes I think that almost the easier path is just to go by the metrics, to go by, hey, we just need to accomplish this task and not really understand that the people are the most valuable resource. And once you get the people to buy in, they'll do anything for you. And it's kind of something that a life lesson that I took from Matthew was, you know, the Air Force says people first, mission always. And I tweaked it based on the way he led me. Was I said, I always, when I had younger officers underneath me further along, I said, take care of your people and they will take care of the mission. And I think that's a life lesson that he showed me while I was under his command.
Okay, everyone, before we continue today's episode, I just want to remind you of my new book, Roll Up Your Sleeves. The book is on how to lead and live in a world of constant change. Roll Up Your Sleeves has a biblically based storyline that shows you how to get through your transition wilderness to your promised land. Order the book today at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. For more information, go to the book's website. The links are attached on the show notes. Okay, now back to the show. Was there an event or something in particular that stands out that he said or did that anchored this approach he had to leading?
Yes. I was about a year in. I had worked my tail off as a training officer, and I was training linguists. We had over 32 languages in our unit. And I was a brand new officer, really wanted to prove myself. He was putting me into all sorts of training for my personal growth, like survival school. But little did I know he was setting me up for my first deployment. because I had all the qualifications to go, although I was about 3 ranks lower than the position required, he still sent me out there and he said, don't mess this up. And obviously he supported me the entire time and made sure I was set up for success. But when I came back from that deployment, I had lost my first troop. I started to drink a lot during the weekends instead of seeking medical help. And in that community, in the special ops community, everyone kind of has lost someone or dealt with some loss. And the status quo is, hey, go have some beers on the weekends. It'll be fine. And so I had gone out with a couple friends, got into a scuffle. I didn't know if it would, grab, police attention or not. I came into his office crying that morning. I just couldn't hold it back just because I respected him so much. He had done so much for me and he had been there the entire time. And he told me pretty much immediately, Jake, I'm not going to sweep this under the rug. I am, however, going to support you in whatever happens after. And so, he didn't try to hide it from anybody. He said, if they ask me, I have to come forward and say, yep, you were the one that got into the scuffle over the weekend. I'm not going to hide it. And he was deploying in about a week and I was actually going to join him. So he said, everything's still a go, but I will send you back home if there's any sort of investigation. They winded up finding out that everything was fine. No harm, no foul. And it just kind of showed that he very could have easily been like, okay, you messed up. I'm just going to leave you out to dry. It's either way, it doesn't really affect him. Someone else messed up. He was not trying to cover his own tracks or anything, but he just supported me the whole time. And it really just made me buy into him and everything he was doing, because it wasn't like, okay, he has lots of integrity. His character's there. He's super personable. I would do anything for him. I still would do anything for him to this day. And I mean, it was hundreds of those types of incidents that I saw him do to myself and other people, where he showed his integrity, his character, but he also showed, hey, I fully support you as a person, and kind of went out of his way to make sure that we were okay.
Yeah. Hey, you mentioned that he displayed empathy, which was not a real common characteristic in the military, and how far that did to what that did to help you. So how does his model of leadership impact you and your work at Amazon now? As you work there leading a part of the organization, how does that affect
you? Yeah. So as a manager in Amazon, at any given point, the three levels of manager, area manager, operations manager, and senior operations manager, at any given point in those positions, you're over from 140 to maybe 500 to 2,000 people. And it's a lot. It's a lot that's demanded of you. Amazon kind of admits that they squeeze the 14-hour day into an 8-hour day. And that's put on the leaders. The metrics need to be there. You need to meet that volume that pushes out. It seems like a simple process. Packages coming in, packages going out, things getting delivered, but a lot can go wrong. And it can kind of get lost on people or managers that, hey, these are humans that are, packing these boxes, staffing these shelves, getting these items. And they all have unique situations, unique problems. And it always kind of reminds me, even in my most stressful days, to kind of relax, think back to why I'm actually doing this. I've had a lot of tough moments happen in my life with losing a troop, losing my best friend in Afghanistan, losing my father. But one of the things that came out of that when I actually sought medical help, from a psychologist, was a resounding message that I need to help people. That's what makes me happy. Helping people makes me extremely happy. It doesn't matter all the awards, intelligence officer of the year, I won 4 or 5 times. None of that matters now. All I can think of back on is the people that I helped, the people that still reach out to me on Facebook, on Instagram. Hey, you were one of my favorite officers because you helped this and you have no idea. It helped my family through this rough time. You had no idea I was going through this, but you still took time out of your day to make sure that I was okay. And I bring that to work every day, and I try to remind my other managers, and I have a very awesome co-manager with me, Danielle, who kind of gets it as well. But we constantly talk about when we sit down and actually engage with our associates, like, hey, ask before you task is what is one of my things. Ask how they're doing before you task them to do something. Like, hey, how are you doing? How was this weekend? How's your family doing? And you wind up finding out some incredible, incredible things that these employees are doing. You know, working three jobs, have four kids, you know, just a lot of bad situations or rough situations that they're going through. They're pushing through, they're doing everything for their family. And it just kind of gives you perspective that you can't just come down marching orders. You really need to care about these people. But then once you have that buy-in, you can ask them for anything and they'll do anything. So it's kind of something that I definitely bring to Amazon every day. I'm grateful for those leaders for teaching me those things. And it's, yeah, it's part of my essence and my core as a leader.
Wow, man, Matthews would be proud of you. I'm sure he would. And man, thanks for reminding us about ask before you task. People first, mission second, metrics matter, but people matter more. And we all, as leaders, need to remember that in our lives, at work and at home. So, Jacob, thanks so much. If folks would like to get in touch with you, could you tell us how?
Sure. I'm on LinkedIn, Jacob Devlin. So J-A-C-O-B. Devlin is D-E-V as in Victor, L-I-N, on LinkedIn. Please reach out to me. I told Michael that there are so many people that have helped me in my life. And we could go on and on with the mistakes that I've made, but I have bounced back. I am in a great place. I continue to bounce back because of these awesome people, no matter what setback I have. And the only way that I could pay back these people is by paying it forward. So I would love to help you out in whatever instance you are, if you're transitioning. I have a lot of experience and a lot of advice when transitioning from any occupation to another, but I would love to help out. So please just send me a message and we'll go from there.
Man, thanks, Jacob. All that information will be on the show notes. Jacob, thanks so much for being a great guest, and we'll see you next time on Small Time Leaders. Thanks. Bye. All right.
Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to leave you with a thought. I believe that we live in a small world that often feels out of control. But I also believe there is a big God who is in control and who speaks to us in a still, small voice. And if we just listen, we may be granted the occasion to make a positive difference in someone's life. So I challenge you to be a small-time leader today and help someone see themselves in a brand new way. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. For more information about my firm, blog, products, today's special guest, please go to michaelallentate.com or smalltimeleaders.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Small Time Leader podcast so you never miss an episode. And join our Facebook group for more exclusive content. I'll see you on the next episode of Small Time Leaders.